Thank you all for coming. Can you hear? I really do thank Joni, and I really do thank Karen, because I wouldn't have done this had they not continued. But then I have seen, going back over this and teaching it, I'm the one that needed it. And so, thank you. I forget everything, so I'm going to read ask the Lord to bring everything back to memory. Do y'all like to think? As a young girl, I didn't like to think. My daddy would say, "Peggy, you need goals. What are your goals?" After I'd been married about 10 years, I sat down in my den and I thought, what do I want out of life? An old psychologist, Sigmund Freud, said, one thing that puzzled him most is, what do women want? You men ever wondered that? Amen. Okay, y'all can talk. I remember thinking, what is bothering you, Peggy? For the first time in my life, I started thinking, and I looked into my heart. I wouldn't have called it my heart, because that's a Bible term and I'd never read the Bible. I certainly didn't want to hear one read, and I would have said, what's going on underneath my skin? What's going on inside of me? As I said, I'd never read the Bible, but it wasn't a very pretty picture what I saw. There was a lot of jealousy, a lot of deceit, and a lot of anger when I didn't get my way. Does that sound like a nice lady to you? I had been taught to act nice, but I couldn't be nice. There's a difference between acting and being. I knew how to pretend. I knew how to be an actress. And as I said, I knew how to act nice, look nice, and smell nice. And I learned something later that I want you to remember, that Henry Brandt said, the heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. Well, my first goal as a young girl was to get a Southern husband. So I went to Georgia and I met Charles. He's been my sweetheart for 61 years now. And I chased him until I caught him. And at some other time, I'll tell you my deception in that, but I'm not going into that tonight. And my second goal was to get my own way. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. I was remembering when Kelly came tonight that when her husband Daniel was a little boy, he looked in our house and he said, Grandma, I think you have about 200 sheep in this house. And I said, no, not that many. This was later on in my life. And what it was is that he counted the sheep in the wallpaper in the bathroom. But anyway, Charles and I got married and we moved to Clemson, where Charles was studying to be an architect. And then we moved here to Sumter to practice architecture. I do remember thinking that it would be wonderful to be happy if I wasn't getting my way. I had the husband I wanted, and I had 3 children, and that was 3 more than I wanted. I didn't want any children because I was so selfish. I didn't understand the grace of God, and I didn't know that God had graced me at that point in my life. To me, children were an inconvenience. What I'm describing to you is a very selfish young lady, and that was the state of my heart. Well, you never know when God is going to intervene, do you? So, about this time, we had been married around 10 years when this night occurred, and we went out to eat on Saturday night at Frank's truck stop. That was the best restaurant in Sumter, and some of you would remember it. Not a lot of you, but it was the best restaurant in Sumter. And so we went out, and we sat down to have fun. And my friend looked at me, and she said, "Peggy, we're going to hell." Well, now, that's not the way I wanted the evening to start, and that is not the conversation I wanted to hear. I did not believe in hell. And I knew if there was one, I wouldn't go there because I knew how to act. I wanted to change the subject, but I said, "Why would you say that? Why would you say that?" She said, "Because you have to be in a right relationship to God, with God, to go to heaven when you die." I remember her saying that. The reason I'm telling you this is that I believe I started thinking Jesus was intruding in my life. God is in the business of intruding, aren't you glad? That's why we pray for ourselves and for our loved ones. We want him to intrude. We want him to intrude all day, every day. He wants to get us alone. Do you like to be alone? I didn't like to be alone. I never wanted to be alone. I'm a people person. But that night, I got in bed alone while Charles and the children were sleeping. And the words, "right relationship with God," came back to me. I remember thinking, do I know anybody in one of those? And if I do, how did they get in that right relationship? Don't you tend to think that if there's a right way to get in a right relationship, it might be that you perform well? So I started thinking, wonder how I could perform, if that's what I need to do. Well, a few days after that, I went to the Christian bookstore. It's in a different place now, downtown. I didn't read books. I read titles. It took too much time to read a book, so I read some titles. I saw the title of this book. It was called Christian Secret of a Happy Life. I remember thinking, I think it's a secret. I wonder what it is. The other title I saw was Beyond Ourselves, and I knew it was beyond me. So I wanted to know the secret, and it was beyond me, and I went ahead and bought these books. And all the things I started reading in these books were telling me that the things that were going on in my heart that I called problems, like jealousy and deceit and anger when things didn't go my way, I called those problems. And I saw, reading these books, that those were sins. As I read and I thought about my lying and deceiving and jealousy and anger, I saw that these sins, it was clear that you read those two books, that these sins were separating me from Holy God. You've heard Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That was a picture of my heart, totally deceitful. It says the heart, so obviously yours and mine are deceitful. God sent his perfect, righteous, holy Son for me. He died a horrible death on a cross for me. Why would he do that? Because he loved me. What you prayed, Chester. And for my anger when I didn't get my way. If he died a terrible death and he rose again, that meant I could know him because it meant he was alive. Now, as I read these, it was not just all day, but I can definitely remember the day that the light just truly turned on for me. I wanted to know Jesus in a personal way. The Bible verse that made all the difference was 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God hath made him, Jesus, to become sin for us, and he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is saying that he took all my sin, the ones I've named and the ones I haven't named, on him on the cross. And he gave me his righteousness. That's amazing grace. That's amazing grace. His death and resurrection came alive for me. And he called the sinner to himself. Lights were turning on in my mind and in my heart. Of course, everything didn't take place that I've just told you that day, but enough did that I knew as I sat in my den on Wactor Street in Sumter, I knew, whoa, I want Jesus in my heart. I asked him to come in. I knew I had been forgiven. I went to sleep that night, and I slept like a baby. And what do you think happened the next day? Nothing. Just another day. I don't know what I thought was going to happen, but I thought something was going to happen. But a few nights later, I was bathing our children in the bathtub, and instead of shouting at them, "Be still or I'll knock your heads together," I put my head down in the bathtub and I cried. I remember praying, "Oh Lord, thank you for these wonderful, beautiful children. Healthy, you gave them to me. You could give them to a selfish mother like me? That's grace, an undeserved gift. I knew it then and I know it now. I didn't deserve it." Then the first week after I prayed this prayer, Charles came home for lunch, and I was so glad to see him. When we first got married in Sumter, I said, "Why are you coming home to lunch? My daddy never came home to lunch. Why don't you go downtown and get lunch?" He said, "I'll be home every day, Peggy, at 1 o'clock. After praying that prayer, I thought, "Oh God, thank you so much that this man wants to come home to me. I can see him coming in the door when I prayed that prayer, that he wants to come home to me." And 51 years it's been now, he's been coming home every day at 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock. I'm grateful. In our Bible study that we've just been doing on Tuesday mornings, Katie Pink asked us to draw a timeline of our lives in Jesus Christ. I thought about the ways that Jesus had intruded through the years. First, a friend told me, "You are to everyone." She told me that I needed to go talk to her mother and her mother-in-law because I was telling everybody about Jesus, and I did. I wanted to tell everybody. And she said, "You don't know the Bible. You don't know the Word." So she set up for me to meet with her mother and her mother-in-law, and they were two old ladies, I thought. They were younger than I am now, but I thought these are two old ladies. And I was going to meet with them every Monday. And I thought, "Oh, my word, in a dark room, and this is my future," I thought. After a few times that we'd been meeting together, and they said, "We will start in Genesis and go through the Bible." I thought, "Oh." Well, after a few times we were meeting, I said, "I believe that, but I don't believe that." And one of them looked at me and she said, "Peggy, it really doesn't matter what you believe or think. What matters is God is going to run his universe by what he says and what he knows. If you want a Christian life that matters for all eternity, you must accept his word in toto." One of those lights turned on. I realized the Lord was speaking to me through her. Because a light turned on. I remember praying. She didn't know it. I don't think either one of them knew it. I bowed my head and I prayed, "Lord, as of this day, I accept your word for my life. I don't want to live by my understanding," as I had been reading a Bible verse that they told me, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I want to trust in you and your word." That's when I started going to the Word of God for answers. The Bible is not on trial. It's the truth. It always has been. It always will be. Then God sent Miss Sophie Graham into my life. Some of you probably knew Miss Sophie, a missionary to China. She taught me every week for years. I would go to Columbia and pick her up and bring her here and have her teach the Bible until she was no longer able to travel. She was in her 90s when she stopped. She died at 101. She and I kept in touch. And we rode back and forth in the car to and from Columbia. She would ask me questions, and she would tell me what to look up in the Bible, and I'd write things down and go home and study them. She taught me Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I remember thinking, Lord, I need your mind, and that I only will get this through your word. She taught me Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. This is the Lord speaking, of course. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how far my thoughts are above yours, and my ways are above yours. At this point in my life, I wanted nothing more than to be a Christian wife and mother and to share my faith. That was my goal now. And if it was God's will, I wanted more children, and fortunately, Bobby was born after that. Not only Bobby was born, but we had 9 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. What a miracle of grace. Then Sam and Mary Glenn Peoples came and stayed at our house. Shelley invited them to come, and they stayed at our house and began to teach things I didn't want to hear. And I would tell you, a lot of people said things to me I did not want to hear. Isaiah 53:6 is what I have already said, but it was, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. There again, Jesus had taken the sin of us all. It was back in Isaiah. All we like sheep. We go astray. How do we go astray? Wanting our way. We want our way. Are you an all? Does all mean all to you? Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence. That means work at keeping your heart. For out of the heart come the issues of life. You know, I want to keep my husband's heart. Or do you want to keep your husband's women? Or do you men want to keep your wife's heart? Or your children's heart? Or your friend's heart? You want to keep somebody else's heart. Because I'm a fixer. But God says, I want you, Peggy, to keep your heart. And so I began to see that I needed the mind of God to go through his word and to apply it to my heart. And as they taught me more and more on the heart, Mary Glenn asked me if I would teach what they'd been teaching me about the heart. It's a lifelong process, isn't it? I have to be still, because Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And I said before, it doesn't come natural for me to be still. Why is it a lifelong process? Because the flesh is so strong. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit living in the believer. The flesh is unholy. The Spirit is holy. And it takes his power. That's why I love Galatians 5:16. I think that's my other favorite verse. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not give in to the lusts of the flesh. So I began seeing how strong my flesh was, and each day the Lord was intruding and showing me more of my flesh. In Leviticus 11:44 and 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Be holy, because I am holy." Now, how am I going to do that since my flesh is so strong? There's only one way: walk in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is holy. And we naturally walk in the flesh. And so in order to be like Jesus at all, we have to walk in the Spirit. And it's a lifelong process. Henry Brandt said, if you haven't got a Bible verse, you haven't got an answer, you've got an opinion. So the Bible's not on trial. Sam Peeples said in this course that I'm teaching, the circumstances of life, the events of life, and the people around me in life don't make me the way that I am, but they reveal the way that I am. Do you want your heart revealed? God uses people, and he uses circumstances, and he uses events to reveal. So I just finished teaching Living Above Your Circumstances, taught by Sam and Mary Glenn Peeples. And on page 38 of the notebook, if you don't have one, I could give you a little one. It gives five basics for your walk in the Spirit. How to walk in the Spirit. These are steps, they're basic, but it takes God's grace. We might know basics, we might know steps, but it's the grace of God. And so we need to pray to the Holy Spirit, to God, that he will put these in our hearts. The first, there are five. First one is submit or surrender. Going back, I remember Miss Sophie Graham saying, you begin, girls, your Christian life by surrendering your will or your heart to Jesus Christ, or you don't even get started. You've heard the hymn, I Surrender All. You probably love it when you hear it, like, I surrender all. Do you really want to do that? All? You see, we want our way. I surrender all. Miss Sophie said, girls, that's the way you get started on your Christian walk. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, this is the greatest point of resistance because it implies change, and the flesh or man does not want to change. Well, we want somebody else to change. But that is what it is to submit, to surrender. It's for me. Number two, identify sin. John 16:8, and when he, Jesus, is come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16:12 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. One of the major benefits of submitting your life to the Lord is the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. He will accurately identify your sins. Man needs this because his heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9. What I said before, the heart is deceitful above all things. So we need the Holy Spirit to accurately identify for us our sins. That's two. Number three, and again, it's the grace of God that we put these steps into practice, or that we believe them, understand them, and want to do this. Confess is number three. That means agree with God. I agree with you, Lord, what you're showing me in my heart. I agree. That doesn't mean we blame someone else. That comes natural to blame. You know, I've been married a long time, and Charles and I will either say, you did that. No, you did it. I agree with you, God. I did. 1 John 1:9, if begins with an if. If is a choice. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what else? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh. This verse brings great hope. Now we can agree with God about sin. We can confess and be forgiven and be free. Is this not good news? This is why it's called the gospel. This is good news covered with the blood of Jesus as we read the scriptures. That was three. This is four. Be controlled. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We know not to get drunk with wine. We teach that to our children, our grandchildren. But how about be filled with the Spirit? Be filled with the Spirit. So ask to be filled with the Spirit and His fruit. Now, what is His fruit? Y'all know what His fruit is. Galatians 5:22. We ask God to fill us with His fruit, His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His faithfulness, His gentleness, and His self-control. Different times of our lives and different times when we're praying, we need to ask for different ones of these fruit, but we need the fruit of His Spirit to walk in the Spirit. And here's my verse again. Number five, be consistent. Galatians 5:16 is walk in the Spirit. This is a consistent walk. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not give in to the lusts of the flesh. Consistency is the heart's desire of a person abiding in Christ, to abide in Christ. We want to be consistent. You will fulfill the desire of the flesh less and less and manifest the fruit of the Spirit more and more as you walk in the Spirit. We will do this perfectly when we're with Him. But we will do this. We will walk in the Spirit, in the flesh less and less, and in the Spirit more and more as we walk with Him. What do football teams do? They practice football, don't they? When Charles and I moved to Clemson, we didn't live very far. We were living in a prefab at the time. We weren't living very far. This was a lot of years ago, y'all. Very far from the football field. And I couldn't wait for him to come home after class, and he'd run to the football field. And I'd think, what does he want to go over there for? So I went over there, and guess what they were doing? They were throwing the ball and catching the ball and passing the ball and throwing the ball and catching the ball and passing the ball and throw. That's what they were doing. And I thought, how boring. They were practicing the basics. Why? Because they had to stay in shape. And they were getting ready for the game. So that they would know what to do under pressure. Because when they got in the game, there was pressure. Y'all have any pressure? That's why we practice the basic. When one guy carries the ball over the goal, you would think that they all carried it over. They're so excited. Because they're in shape and they're a team. They're working together as a team. That's what we're to do as the body of Christ. So maintain your walk in the Spirit by shifting gears. Maintaining your walk is shifting gears. I went through this with you that I was teaching. There's a gear shift. Don't stay in reverse. If there's unconfessed sin in your life, or in your mind, or in your heart, you want to confess it. Agree with God. Then don't stay in neutral. After you confess it, you're in neutral. You've confessed your sin, but you're empty. You don't want to stay empty. You want to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you go forward. You move into forward. And that is that you walk by His grace. And you ask Him to receive the glory. Now that's what it's all about. So what is my final goal as I finish tonight? The answer is the first question in the catechism. I bet y'all could tell me what it was. Is the chief end of man? Is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. How long? Forever. Enjoy Him forever. Gifford, do you want to pray? Thank you.